some of the most successful startup companies in this country. Netscape, Genentech, Compaq Computers all have something in common. They were financed by venture capitalists, individuals and companies that risk their own money by putting it into brand new organizations. Venture capitalists invested some $5 billion in the first half of this year. That is up 40% from the year before. NPR's Chris Arnold went to one of the leading venture capital firms in California's Silicon Valley to find out how the process works.
Picture Silicon Valley as a kind of primordial soup. Thousands of motivated, smart people move among the top university and research institutions and major high-tech companies until a few find each other and decide to start a new business. It's a fertile environment for venture capitalists. What they do, essentially, is stir the pot, watching for promising young entrepreneurs who have a chance to become the industry leaders of the future, but who need money, experience, and contacts to get there.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you're looking at doing?
Wendy Hutton, a general partner with the Mayfield Fund, is listening to a pitch over the phone from an engineer looking to start a surgical equipment company. His product might be a runaway success, or it might be a turkey.
Henry Ford, okay. Oh, I like that.
In the last 18 months, Mayfield has invested $113 million in 27 startup companies. Now, only about a quarter of the companies Mayfield decides to back will really pay off. Hutton and her partners are betting on businesses that are small or non-existent today, but that they think have the potential to create a new market or grow very rapidly. Hutton says a recent example is a company called HeartStream, which makes a lightweight emergency device to shock and restart a person's heart after cardiac arrest. Until recently, defibrillators have been bulky machines wheeled around on crash carts in hospitals or put in specialized paramedic vehicles. Hutton says HeartStream repackaged an old idea with new technology and made a defibrillator that's about the size of a portable computer, cheaper, and easy enough for just about anybody to use, which Hutton says will save more people's lives.
There's some examples of this now where every police car and for early response vehicle has been outfitted, and now one in four lives are saved, whereas in New York City, where it's almost impossible to get a defibrillator to the scene, one in 100 lives are saved.
And of course, all those police cars, hotel lobbies, big restaurants, that's a huge potential market. But before a venture capitalist decides to invest in an idea like this, they have to research it. Maybe somebody else tried it before and it failed. Is the basic technology sound? Maybe the entrepreneur can't work with other people or is unreliable. Mayfield partner Grant Heidrich remembers when he was trying to decide whether or not to invest in what has since become the multi-billion dollar biotech giant Genentech. He says at the time he called up the experts and the executives at the existing pharmaceutical companies to get their advice.
Frankly, they were clueless. They'd say, no, this is crazy. This is a half-cocked idea. This will never work. So in our business, again, we have to rely a lot on the conventional thinking and collect that input and understand it. But in the end, we have to ourselves step back in our partners' meetings with our own group of decision makers and say, are we going to go for it? Because if it was obvious, it would have been done. And we do the non-obvious thing.
And as a result, Heidrich says venture capitalists have helped give birth to a new generation of successful software and biotechnology companies that might not be around otherwise. Now, in general, most new businesses fail within the first several years. So to protect and nurture a new company during this vulnerable startup time, some of the venture firms are bringing entrepreneurs into what's called a business incubator.
This is where I work.
Donna August, the founder of Freshwater Software, is standing in the incubator back behind the kitchen in the Mayfield Fund's headquarters. Several startup companies are working out of cubicles in this space. Mayfield gives them phones, fax machines, desks, computer hookups.
Our products are very internet-oriented, internet-based, so I can come here, plug in my computer, I'm already on the internet, and the network's already in place and supported. So that's one less thing for me to worry about early on.
This may sound pretty mundane, but it saves weeks or months of setup time, outfitting an office, hiring a receptionist, and instead lets the entrepreneurs focus on developing their core products or services. Of course, Mayfield is also investing millions of dollars in these startups. But while she needs the money, August says almost more important are the business contacts. Venture capitalists sit on boards and have friends at a wide range of companies, and this is a big advantage for someone like August who wants to get noticed and taken seriously by potential business customers.
The venture capital investors know the most senior people in those companies. And when I can call those folks and get together and have a quick lunch with those people, it just totally greases the path. And the way I got to, you know, the CEO or the senior vice president of marketing or something at those companies was because my VC partner called that person up and said, Donna August, you should talk to this person because she's got some good stuff cooking here. That got me a call back, and that's all I needed. I just needed to get the door open.
If the product really starts to sell, the venture partners have experience managing rapid growth and can help August make key decisions, how much to invest in marketing versus research. Sometimes this means asking the entrepreneur to step down and let a better manager run the company. And Mayfield partner Bill Unger says getting the right people to come on board is a crucial factor.
These companies are hard to do, and it's unusual. In fact, I'm not sure there are truly great companies that have been built because of one person. They're built because you get a group of exceptional people in the right, you know, the right group of people doing the right thing at the right time, and there's a lot of magic to that.
In the 70s, Unger worked in the mental health field with emotionally disturbed kids, then went on to found an executive search company. Mayfield hired him to help recruit talented people, a great accountant or a vice president of marketing, who will fit in well to the unique culture and personality of a particular startup.
I think Silicon Valley is a laboratory of the future. I think venture capitalists are more catalysts than anything else. We're not, in most cases, really adding the value. We're just sort of putting, you know, really dynamic kinds of compounds in contact with each other, and then they take it.
But that's if it all works right. For the entrepreneur, the venture capital process presents some risks as well as rewards. First, just like any other profession, some venture capitalists are better at what they do than others, and some may give bad advice, more like a bad surgeon operate at the drop of a hat, force the founder out of the CEO chair, and then steer the company in the wrong direction. Also, all the business experience the venture firms have can make them tough negotiators when it comes to exacting a price for their money and help. Fred Maul is a doctor who started three different companies using venture capital. He says it doesn't take long for an entrepreneur to get desperate trying to raise money, sometimes to the point where the venture capitalists can name their price.
They usually ask for a big chunk of the company for their investment, and depending on at what stage the company is, that can mean giving away most of your company to raise just enough money for, say, a year of operation.
But Maul stresses he is very happy with his current venture group, and he says the really good firms don't try to squeeze the entrepreneurs too much, because it's usually a long-term relationship, and they want to keep the entrepreneur motivated and enthusiastic about building a successful enterprise. And at the end of the day, it's working with the entrepreneurs that many venture capitalists say is the best part of their job. Mayfield's Bill Unger.
I had a partner who passed away a few years ago, and he said that being in Silicon Valley was like being in Florence during the Renaissance.
Unger says when he was in the mental health field, he liked working with kids who he saw as creative and truly exceptional individuals. And in a way, he says he's still doing the same thing now as a venture capitalist.
Entrepreneurs don't follow rules. You know, it isn't normal, I think, to be an entrepreneur. It's not normal to work 60, 70, or 80 hours a week, not see your family, not pay attention to your own needs, and focus on creating something out of nothing. That, to me, is what's exciting. Every time you meet somebody, they're trying to tell you what their vision of the future is. You have an opportunity to see the future every day.
The venture capital system has flourished within the maelstrom of entrepreneurship in Silicon Valley. But there are other venture capital groups throughout the country, and a full third of venture-backed businesses are not technology companies. Raising capital from individual investors is still the more common approach for most businesses, whether it be a wealthy uncle, another business person, or parents who take out a second mortgage. But the rapidly growing venture capital system is a critical opportunity for the many entrepreneurs who don't have access to other forms of funding. In San Francisco, I'm Chris Arnold reporting.